We're in Romans chapter 8 this morning, and if you're not already open up, we're going to be just looking at two verses, verses 12 and 13. I want to open up with a question that has to do with the word obligation, okay? When you guys hear the word obligation, how many of you immediately are thinking good things? You love the word obligation. I love talking about obligations. I got a few hands. How many of you tend to think of negative things? Obligation. I think if you were to ask me, it seems to be more of a negative word than a positive word, at least on an emotional, affective level, right? I looked it up. Here's what it says in the dictionary. An obligation is an act or course of action to which a person is morally or legally bound. It's a duty or commitment. A second related definition, it's a debt of gratitude for a service or a favor. So the word obligation has to do with being indebted. It's the idea of something you're bound to do by duty or by commitment. And I think it's very true that for many of us, this is what we think of. We think of, I have this debt. And whether it's a financial debt or some other kind of debt, it's a hassle. I don't like it. It drags me down. It's negative. And we hear that in the word obligation. We hear that in the word debt. And depending on your translation, we're going to be reading about that word today in Romans chapter 8. Because as we focused here on Romans chapter 8, we're talking about the joy of being indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you're a follower of Christ, if Romans 8:1 is true of you, there's therefore no condemnation because you're in Christ Jesus. And so you know that you've been declared righteous. You know that's all based on the work of Christ, but it applies to you, and you know that. Then the Holy Spirit indwells you. And we had a sermon last time, and because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we have life. Romans chapter 8, verses 10, 11, and 12, right? If Christ is in you, and he is. Paul doesn't want you to doubt. He's talking to believers. Though the body is dead and your body is mortal, yet the Spirit is alive. Could be a reference to your spirit. I think it's a reference to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is life in you, because you've been declared righteous through the gospel. But verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You may remember if you were here last time, I repeated a line actually from a song the choir sang, if I'm thinking correctly, last week. It's not death to die. And even though our bodies are going to die, we're going to live, and it's all because of the Holy Spirit. And if the Father can use the Spirit to raise Christ from the grave, then the Father can use the Spirit to raise you from the grave. And even though your body is mortal, if your faith's in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit, and it's not death to die. It's a wonderful thing. You say, Greg, I like that. I'm encouraged by focusing on the Holy Spirit, and because of Him, not a force, but a person, because of Him living inside me, there's a resurrection. And that's true for you if your faith is in Christ. But Paul goes on. How do you know if it's true for you? How do you know if you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit? I mean, how do you know? You know, do you go to a doctor and get a test? Like a lot of us, we get sick and we go to doctors and they do blood work and they test for, you know, whatever they test for. And sometimes we have aches and pains, serious. And doctors will do different kinds of MRIs and PET scans and other kinds of tests, x-rays. And the doctor looks, and he or she, the best they can, they say, yes, you have this, you don't have this. How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? We know if you have the Holy Spirit that it is not death to die, but how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? Paul's going to help us understand that in the message today, verses 12 through 13. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, then you understand that you have a debt, you have an obligation. And see, that ties back to that introduction of do you like the word debt or obligation? We're going to use it today in a real positive sense, okay, even though some of us don't like the word. You say, where is that? It's right in verse 12. I'll read verse 12 of Romans 8. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. What Paul is saying is because the Spirit of life lives within you, then you recognize that you're not living to the flesh. You're not living according to the flesh. It's not true that you're living the way you used to live before you put faith in Christ. I've entitled the message, Life or Death, and this is a serious message. Because this message is going to help you understand if you're headed for eternal life or eternal damnation. And you say, Greg, why would you pick a message like this? You know, we're singing about Thanksgiving. I'm thinking positive thoughts. Why can't you go back to last week's message, which is if you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to have a resurrection. That's awesome. Well, remember, I just preached what Paul writes. And so I just take whatever the next couple of verses have to say. And what these verses have to say is you must absolutely understand there is a way to know if you have the Holy Spirit. And if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not going to heaven. And that's what the apostle... And that's not me. That's not Trinity. That's not this church. That's the apostle Paul. That's God's word. And I pray by God's grace that he'll help us understand that. Just two points in a message I've called Life or Death. The first point is, you would expect, verse 12. We have an obligation. Again, I'll read verse 12. Paul begins, so then, brethren. Now, notice he begins with brethren. That's a word of affection. Paul's talking to people that he believes are followers of Christ. He's not yelling at them. He's not mad at them. He's not saying anything unkind to them. He loves these people, just like you have brothers and sisters, and I hope you get along well with them. I know that's not always the case, but at least in a perfect world it would be. That's why Paul uses this word brethren. So then, brethren, we are under obligation. Or actually, as literally, if not more literally, the ESV puts it this way, we are debtors. So if you are a Christian, you have an obligation. You have a debt. You say, what is it? Verse 12 says it. We are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Let's just take each of those little phrases one at a time. Okay, I'm reading from verse 12. Not to the flesh. Our flesh as Christians constantly tempts us to sin. All the time. Every selfish thought you have, it's coming from your flesh. And it's happening all of the time. But here's the key. Notice what verse 12 says. We are what? We are under obligation not to the flesh. We owe the flesh nothing. The flesh has no right to tell me what to do. Now, the flesh tells me what to do all the time, but I am not obligated to listen to the flesh. That's that little phrase in verse 12, not to the flesh. Now, just in case you're wondering, what is the flesh telling me to do? That's the second phrase in verse 12. To live according to the flesh. To live. That's how you spend your life. We have no obligation to listen to the flesh. The flesh that is constantly telling us, this is how I want you to live. Now, this should bring back memories from previous in the chapter, and you might want to just look back at verse 5, or I put it on the screen just to make it easy. Just a few verses, right? Half a dozen verses earlier, Romans 8, verse 5. Those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. So the Apostle Paul is saying, if you're an according to the flesh person, and you're not an according to the Spirit person. Which in this context, what Paul is saying is if you are not a Christian, then what do? Well, you think about what's normal. You think about this life. You think about things of the flesh. It doesn't mean you're the world's most wicked person. We all know of people that are worse than us, even though we all know that we're not what we should be. The bottom line is, if you're not a Christian, you're an according to the flesh person, you go through life thinking about things of the flesh. So some of you might be thinking, well, Greg, what does that mean, things of the flesh? Well, let's just review that as well. Now, that has to put us in another book. That's Galatians 5, 19 through 21 I read. What are the works of the flesh? Paul says they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalry, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. That's the kind of life that people live who don't know Jesus Christ. You know, I'm like, I guess a lot of you, I have my little news app thing, and it's just kind of like, you know, you read two sentences on whatever's interesting in the world. And even yesterday I read something about there's a lot of people questioning, there's a very popular television show that is geared towards families. It's a pro-family show. I don't remember the name of it, which is probably good. I don't watch television as a rule unless it has a ball in it, all right? So football, baseball, basketball, I'm good. Apart from there, I'm ignorant. So this is a show that allegedly in the past has been family safe. At least this one news article said. I'm not saying I agree with that. Okay. But in the new episodes, there's an episode where these individuals that are underage, they're not adults, engage in a sexual orgy. And that's in a family-friendly show. And there are people, they're not Christians, and they're questioning that. Why would you do that? Well, you know, people that are concerned with drunkenness, orgies, things like these, that's just normal if you're not a Christian. Now, you might think, well, that sounds pretty bad. Well, it was bad enough to make the news app. But there's also more everyday bad stuff, if you will, okay? Things like what? Enmity, strife, always arguing, always fighting, jealousy, getting angry. Maybe those are the more everyday works of the flesh. If you're an unsaved person, you just think about this life. These are things that, to different degrees, characterize your life. That's what Paul's talking about when he says in this verse, verse 12, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Again, the flesh keeps saying to me, my flesh, not outside of me, in me. My greatest problem is inside me. It's my flesh. And my flesh is not eradicated when I come to Christ. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, as I am, you are fighting your flesh, as I am. And your flesh is continually saying, this is what I want you to do. But it has no right to do so. And we are under no obligation to obey it because we're no longer according to the flesh people if our faith's in Christ. I want to use the same illustration I've used many times before, and I hope it comes back to your mind because I hope God will use it. You maybe used to live in an apartment building or in a house, and the landlord came by the first of the month and said, pay me. And you had to pay. It was an obligation. But now you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and you are not an according to the flesh person anymore. You're an according to the spirit person. So when the flesh says to you, do this, you can say no. Unsaved people don't say no. That's just what they do. They're still obligated. We're not. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in verse 12. Now, verse 12 to me is actually a little bit of a challenging verse, I think. On the first read, it's hard to understand. You say, what do you mean? Let's read through it again together. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, in my New American Standard, hyphen. And it's like, Paul, where's the second half of the verse? I would fully expect Paul to say, brethren, we're under obligation, negative, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Okay, Paul, positive. But to the Spirit to live according to the Spirit. And I believe that's the implication, so I'm going to list that. Not everyone will agree. I believe the implication of the text is that's what Paul is saying here. We're under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, and what he's implying by that is we do have an obligation to live according to the Spirit. And I think by implication it's there. Now, not everybody will agree, so let me hit both sides real quick. Some people will say, Paul didn't say it because you never have an obligation to live according to the Spirit. Living for Christ is never an obligation. Well, I think that's rooted in a negative view of the word obligation. Remember how we started the intro today? If you see obligation as a really bad word, then I guess you would come to that conclusion. I don't think it's a really bad word. So in my mind, it would seem to me that Paul is clearly implying we should live according to the Spirit. Okay? Sometimes we do that in language. I was trying to think of an example. Many years ago, way many years ago, there was a oil filter commercial on television. And the guy would say something like this. He was a mechanic and whatever. And he would say, you know, you ought to change your oil regularly. And when you do, change the oil filter. And don't try to save money by not changing your oil. Don't try to save money by not changing your filter. And then sometimes the commercial would be like this. The guy would say, because you can pay me now, or... And he never even said that, but you all knew what he meant. I mean, like, half of the congregation just said, or you can pay me later. It was implied. I think, the best I understand it, that's what Paul's doing here. Brethren, we're under obligation. To whom, Paul? Well, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but to the Spirit to live according to the Spirit. So, is living according to the Spirit an obligation? Yes. And it's not a bad obligation. It's a debt that we embrace. It's not a bummer. I've had the joy of officiating in this room, right here, actually, right on this platform, and having conducted many, many marriages. And there'll be a man, a young man typically, or whatever age, and a woman, they come together, and there are many words of obligation. And I'll say something like this. I don't have it memorized, but do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? Maybe it's coming back. To have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, for richer and for poorer, all those things, till death do us part. And I've never yet had a guy go, oh man, that is like such a bummer. I don't know, Greg, you know, like, you know, I don't know, maybe, no. Normally it's like, I do. And it's like, talk faster, you know, because we just want to get married. And they put the ring on, and they're all smiles. Now, I have a wedding ring on my hand, which I wear everywhere I go. And I don't think, oh, what a bummer. You know, Nancy's still my wife. Oh, and I have to, oh, yeah, she's right in the front row here, right? Honey, it's not a bummer, okay? And in all honesty, if you said, do you have an obligation to love your wife and to care for her? Of course I do. And is that like a ball and a chain? No. I've said this before. If I had to get married again, I would marry Nancy all over again. I thank the Lord for her. I'm not saying she's perfect. The guy she's married to is far from perfect. But I thank the Lord for her. That's a debt I embrace. I think that's what Paul's getting us to understand here. So if you have the Holy Spirit, you are not under obligation to live to the flesh, but you are under an obligation to live according to the Spirit. Now, you might be thinking, okay, Greg, I'm with you, and I think I know what Paul means. Is it really that big of a deal? And my answer is it is huge. It's an issue of life or death. And Paul's going to explain in verse 13, you better take this seriously. In fact, your eternal destiny is going to be tied to understanding this next verse. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic. Whether you go to heaven or hell is going to be tied to what I'm going to talk about in this next verse. And this is a verse that for some, it's going to kind of grab you, and it's even going to sound like, no way. And for some, you're going to even be thinking, I've heard of sermons that disagree with this verse. I've been reading a biography over, actually listening to a biography this last week, written by a preacher who would disagree with what I'm about to preach right now. Okay? You say, let's just get into it. Let's do it. Verse 13. Here we go. Ready? If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. Paul says that every person who is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, a believer in Jesus Christ, Romans 8:1, you're not under condemnation because you're in Christ. You know what Paul is saying? Paul says what? If you, verse 13, are living according to the flesh, you must die. You say, everyone's going to die. That's correct. So there would be no need for him to even say everyone's going to die physically. That's correct. Because he's not talking about dying physically, guys. He's talking about being damned under the wrath of God forever. No eternal life for you. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying in this verse. If you are living, it's present tense, if your life, the word therefore living is how you go through life. If your life is present tense, continually characterized by according to the flesh, Paul says, you will die. Now, in the context of what he said already in Romans 8, this makes sense. I encourage you to just look back at verses 6 through 8, or I put a portion of it up on the screen again. For the mindset on the flesh is death, because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it's not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So somebody whose whole life is the flesh. And again, this may be somebody who's out involved in drunken orgies, but it doesn't have to be that way. A guy whose whole life is college football. I use something I like. That's his whole life. And all he thinks about is college football. And do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think about eternal things? No, I think about college football. And that's what I wake up thinking about, and that's what I go to bed thinking about. Well, of course you do, because that's your life. And it would be amazing if you thought of anything else. Paul says, if you're a person and your whole life is about according to the flesh, it's about this world, you don't have eternal life. And some people are thinking, Greg, now come on, I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, that's your interpretation, and different people interpret that differently, and we have some people that are like Arminians and some people that are Calvinists, and they will define this differently, so I disagree with you. No, that's not accurate. You can be an Arminian, you can be a Calvinist, and you will agree with this verse. You say, how could that be? Okay, real quick. This warning is so severe. I put a quote up that just gripped me. We must not eviscerate this warning. Paul clearly affirms that his readers will be damned if they continue to follow the dictates of the flesh. To eviscerate, to take the viscera out, to disembowel. Not a word we use a lot. It's an ugly word. One commentator, Moo, says, don't do that to this verse. Take Paul's words seriously. If you are living according to the flesh, you will die. You say, Greg, but why'd you even bring up the Arminian Calvinistic thing? Okay, real quick. I continue with Moo. On this point, Calvinists and Arminians are agreed. It's true. Now, there is a difference, and I will explain the difference to you, but it's not going to change what the verse means, okay? Let me continue with the quote. The Arminian believes that a regenerate believer may indeed fall back into a fleshly lifestyle so that the threat of this verse becomes real. Explanation. The Arminian believes you can lose your salvation. So maybe you used to be saved, but right now you are not putting to death the works of the flesh. You are not growing in grace. There's no sanctification in your life. You lost your salvation. They believe the verse. If you are not putting to death the works of the flesh, you are not going to heaven. They would simply say you lost your salvation. Let me continue. But the Calvinist believes that the truly regenerate believer, while often committing fleshly acts, will be infallibly prevented from living a fleshly lifestyle by the Spirit within. So the Calvinist would say, if you're a person who shows no evidence of sanctification, but you are living a continual life that's according to the flesh, you were never saved in the first place. The Arminian says you lost it. The Calvinist says you never had it. But both agree with the essence of what Paul is saying. If you, right now, are not putting to death the works of the flesh, you are not going to heaven. That's what the Apostle Paul says. And theologically, wherever you come from on this verse, you can't deny the reality of the text. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? In this book that I'm reading, which has so many encouraging things, the author talks about people. Well, you know, this guy, like, he made a decision when he was a kid. Yeah, he spent most of his life doing drugs. He spent most of his life with multiple women. He spent most of his life partying. But, you know, he was just a guy who was like, I mean, he was a Christian. He was on his way to heaven. He just never rededicated his life. Oh, okay, good. He got to be whatever, 35, and he rededicated his life. But all of that time, you know, like those 20 years before, when he was not putting to death the deeds of the flesh, when he was living according to the flesh, he was still a Christian. And the problem is I'm preaching through Romans chapter 8, and I'm thinking, my brother in Christ, why would you say that? Because it's contrary to what Paul says right here in the text. For you, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you are a person who by the Holy Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Do you see the answer? Do you remember the question? How do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? You can't do blood tests. MRIs, CTs, X-rays don't show it. Here's one evidence. Here's one evidence that you're on your way to heaven. You are putting to death the deeds of the flesh. You're growing. Nowhere close to how much you should grow. Please, if you're sitting here thinking, Greg, I'm struggling with sin. I got it. Remember, that's why we got to keep the big book in context. I've already preached through Romans 7. Paul struggled with sin and said, oh, wretched man that I am. So if you're sitting here feeling, oh, wretched man that I am, you're right with Paul, and Paul's obviously a Christian who was actively fighting the sin in his life and was putting to death the works of the flesh, just like you are, because the Holy Spirit lives in you. You say, Greg, that almost sounds like legalistic moralism. Okay. We have to talk a little bit more theology, and I hesitated. I thought, do I do this morning? Maybe, I don't know, we just had an ordination yesterday. You say, okay, here we go with theology. I'm going to tune you out. Please don't. You say, I don't believe in theology, I just believe in Jesus. Well, to say you believe in Jesus, you have to know who Jesus is, and that's theology. So let me real quick talk about three views of sanctification. You say, I've heard of legalism. What is legalism or moralism? It's a problem. That's the idea that you can fight against the works of the flesh in your own strength. I'm a man with a plan. I'm self-disciplined. I can do it. I can eat healthy. I have willpower. I can jog. I have willpower. I can go to bed at a certain time. I'm very scheduled. Again, a man with a plan. I am strong. That's legalism. That's moralism. That is not the teaching of Scripture. So that would be one view of sanctification. That would be incorrect. A second view of sanctification. The way you grow is through the Holy Spirit apart from your own effort. This is called sometimes Keswick theology. This is sometimes called quietism. Let go and let God is what people would say who embrace this kind of thinking. It's the idea of favorite verse on sanctification, be still and know that I am God. You say, Greg, that's in the Bible. It is, but it's not a verse on sanctification. When you say, give me a verse on sanctification, right here, right here. Can I read it again? This is a verse on sanctification, verse 13. If you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. This is a verse on sanctification. If you have the Holy Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body. You say, I thought the Holy Spirit did that. You're not reading the verse well. It doesn't say if the Spirit is putting to death the deeds of the body. It says you. If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you are fighting against your flesh. You are fighting against sin. You say that's legalism, moralism. No, we're not talking about unaided. We're talking about through the power of the Spirit. If you are a Christian, you're fighting the sin in your heart. I'm not saying you're even close to what you should. None of us are. But you're fighting. You say, why? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And that's what Paul is saying in the text. If you are living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Do you have any idea of my heart for you this morning? Is there anyone listening where you would say, Greg, I've prayed the sinner's prayer. I understand the gospel. I can explain it. I've just never grown. I've never been involved in putting to death the deeds of the flesh. I haven't. What are you saying? What is Paul saying? If you are living according to the flesh, you will die. You're not going to heaven. That's what Romans says. I was trying to think of a way to summarize this, and I'll do it with just simply a question that I'm frequently asked, and I think it's a very good question. I have two questions, and we're finished. Question. Do you know of a Christian who continues to live according to the flesh and has never progressed in sanctification? I want you to think. People that you know, do you know of a Christian who continues to live according to the flesh and has never progressed in sanctification? How many of you would say yes? And of course, maybe the answer would be, you really don't. You don't. See, you might know someone who professes to be a Christian, who lives according to the flesh and has never progressed in sanctification. That person's not a believer. You say, how can you be so arrogant and say that? I'm just reading my Bible. If you are living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That's eternal life. Let me say it in a more pointed way. I said I had two questions. Last question of the morning. Are you progressing in sanctification as you put to death the deeds of the flesh, not in your own strength, but by the power of the Holy Spirit? Is that true of you? I want to read it again. It's so important. Are you progressing in sanctification as you put to death the deeds of the flesh by way of the power of the Holy Spirit? Is that true of you? And I will answer that. Here's your answer. The answer is, you are. Are you progressing in sanctification as you put to death the deeds of the flesh by way of the power of the Spirit? You are. if you're a Christian. Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And the same Holy Spirit that the Father's going to use to give resurrection life to your body, your mortal body, so that you can go to heaven forever, is the same Holy Spirit who right now is at work in your life. And through His power, you're fighting against the flesh. Please, if you're sitting here struggling with sin, that's not a testimony you're not fighting against the flesh. If anything, that's a testimony you are fighting against the flesh. But if you're sitting here thinking, man, Greg, I don't know where you're coming from, but once saved, don't always saved, that's my mantra. I said the prayer, I signed the card, I'm good. And I don't know where this is even coming from this morning. I want to say with a heart of love to you, it's coming from Romans chapter 8, verse 13. That's where it's coming from. If you are living according to the flesh, you will die. Are there people right now listening to me and you're on your way to hell? And you don't even know it. Because you said the prayer and you signed the card and you put a stick on a fire. Somebody signed your Bible. People who love you. They just don't understand Romans. They don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. Could that be you? Again, if you're sitting here saying, Greg, man, pray and let's go because I am so uncomfortable right now because I'm fighting sin. No, you're my brother, you're my sister, I'm fighting sin. That's what this is about. We're fighting against the flesh. That's what Christians do. But if you're just sitting back thinking, look, all I know is I said the prayer, I'm good. I know I got saved. Don't give me this stuff. I don't believe in what you're preaching today anyhow. The Bible says if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. You will not go to heaven. That's the Word of God. That's Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Now do you understand why I called this message a message of life or death? If I can help you, please let me know. If you would like to talk to someone, there's elders here. It doesn't have to be an elder. We don't have like an inside on the truth. You say, Greg, I just want to talk to somebody. Well, if you have a friend who brought you here or you worship with regularly, somebody you trust, ask them. Say, I want to talk to you about Romans 8:13, and they'll talk with you. Maybe if you're a lady, you say, I don't know who to talk to, send me an email and I'll set you up with a woman. Or if you would prefer, my wife and I would be glad to speak with you. Romans 8:13, if you're living according to the flesh, you will die. I say this because I don't want you to die. I don't want you to go to hell. That's why I'm preaching on this. Let's pray.